USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
As is British tradition, a town crier makes a big announcement in London this morning.
Buckingham Palace will be announced the birth of a newly born Royal Prince on this St. George's Day 2018.
That the announcement that Prince William and his wife Kate were celebrating the arrival of a third child, an 8-pound, 7-ounce prince who was born this morning. Kensington Palace says Prince William was present for the birth, and both mother and child are doing well. CIA Director Mike Pompeo's nomination, now to be Secretary of State, may be voted out of a Senate committee today without a recommendation or with a negative recommendation.
Under ordinary times, he would be confirmed overwhelmingly.
Senate Republican Bob Corker there on CNN. Democrats say Pompeo doesn't have the diplomatic experience to be Secretary. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, moms and dads. There's a new True Blue American Hero in theaters now.
In fact, I thought of a name for him.
His name is Stubby.
Sergeant Stubby, an American Hero, is a heartwarming animated adventure for the whole family based on the incredible true story of America's most decorated dog.
I confer the honorary rank of sergeant on Stubby, the regimental mascot.
You could all learn something from him.
Now playing in theaters nationwide. Go see it today.
Wayne Island Root for Bullet Blocker. I love these guys. Sometimes you find a product and you go, wow, why didn't I think of that? Trained as an Army Ranger and former Deputy Sheriff, Joe Curran invented the world's first bulletproof backpack. Now Joe has built a successful Made in the USA company that offers bullet-resistant products for your most precious asset, your children. Backpacks, bulletproof clothing, vests, briefcase, and more. Bullet Blocker gives your kids the gift of life. Stylish clothing that protects like police body armor. Go to bulletblocker.com and enter code WAR to save 10%. That's bulletblocker.com, bulletblocker.com.
The manhunt continues for the 29-year-old suspect in the shootings that left 4 people dead and 3 people wounded at a Waffle House in Nashville, Tennessee on Sunday morning. As that manhunt continues, the Democratic mayor of the city, David Briley, is already calling for more gun control laws.
We need comprehensive gun reform to address mass shootings, domestic shootings, accidental shootings and homicides.
After suspect Travis Reinking was arrested outside the White House in 2017, guns he had owned were confiscated by a county sheriff's office, but they were later returned to his father, who was supposed to keep them locked up and away from his son, who reportedly suffers from mental issues. The Bill Cosby sexual assault retrial continuing in a Pennsylvania courtroom today. It's day 11, and the judge in the case says there are just a few days of testimony left before it's expected to go to the jury. Remember, you can find us online anytime at usaradio.com.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
After the FCC voted earlier this year to repeal Obama-era rules on so-called net neutrality, the new rules were supposed to take effect today. The new ones would give internet service providers the right to slow or block traffic on certain websites or charge fees for faster delivery of some content. But since the FCC approval, nearly 24 state attorneys general have filed lawsuits trying to block the rules change. And there could be rulings today that will block them from taking effect. Meantime, new laws to establish net neutrality rules in individual states have also been approved in some states, and there are some moves in Congress to restore the federal rule on net neutrality. Apple's offering free battery replacement on certain MacBook Pro laptops, as we hear from USA Radio's Wendy King.
The replacement program extends to 13-inch MacBook Pro non-touch bar units manufactured between October 2016 and October 2017 that feature a component that may fail and cause the built-in battery to expand. Apple said the battery issue isn't a safety concern and battery replacements will be offered free of charge at Apple service providers. The page announcing the replacement program includes a field for MacBook owners to enter their computer's serial number to determine if it is eligible for a free replacement. I'm Wendy King.
And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Pat,
did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Now, local weather here today at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. WHCR-DB. Outside, we're about 62 right now. Going up in the few more degrees today. Nice and sunny out there. Clear on the overnight. Low in the upper 30s. Chance of rain possible Tuesday afternoon. Otherwise cloudy, high near 59. Rain Tuesday night. In the evening, patchy fog after 9 p.m. Low in the high 40s. Looks like rain again on Wednesday. 100% chance around here. High in the 60s. And then rain in the evening, probably tapering off, because Thursday looks like sunny in the 60s again, 40s on the overnight, and then Friday rain hitting us again. So getting plenty of April showers here. Only got a few days left. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org.
Hey everybody, Chef Bill here at the table, Chef Bill's Table at WHCRDB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, coming to you live on Mondays at this time, and then stored in podcasts for later listening, if you like, if you can't make it right now. Get together every week talking about food, primarily beverages, holidays coming up. We've got Mother's Day on the horizon, but we've got a little bit more time left for that. What else is going on? Started grilling season, right? Some of that nice weather. Yesterday was beautiful around here. Just a nice night to be outside. No humidity. Temperature's just right. So time to start thinking about that. What's coming up this week? Oh, the 27th, National Prime Rib Day. And the 29th is Shrimp Scampi Day. Two favorites, classics. We serve them both at the restaurant at Jake's. Prime Rib, of course, one of our better sellers, probably one of the best. And then we offer the shrimp scampi as an add-on when people order garlic shrimp. It's funny, these two have names that are, I don't want to say confusing, but in some cases, in the case of shrimp scampi, it might be confusing. Prime Rib sounds like it's misleading. And we were talking last week at Polytech at our advisory board, a few of the chefs, and we were saying, you know, menus aren't accurate because they still say prime rib. We were talking about some of the provenance that's listed on menus for products, and obviously some of them can't be sourced year-round. So just wondering how important that is. If people are asking, so they want to know that food is sourced properly, seafood sustainable, non-GMOs, organics becoming, even in the wine industry, although most wine is fairly well natural. Not too much done with it. Maybe the mass-produced wines might be tweaked a little bit, but most great wines are done with keeping the earth in mind and making it sustainable, not chemicals, not a lot of pesticides, things like that. So, yeah, prime rib. So they, well, you know, prime is a grade of meat, which it is, the USDA prime, indicating the top level of quality, plenty of marbling, and other characteristics that the inspectors for quality grading have to look at. But it's also the name of a dish, prime rib. You see it on menus, our menu. We list it as prime rib. And it doesn't mean we're using prime grade. We use an Iowa premium, Angus. But we don't lay claim to it. In this case, you know, there's a week where that isn't available, then we don't want to be misleading people. So, but prime rib, unless it says on the menu or the listing, USDA prime, with those letters in front of it, USDA, U.S. Department of Agriculture, if that claim is made, then you'll say, well, that is prime, not only prime rib, but prime grade prime rib. I don't think anybody would say prime rib, although we do say shrimp scampi. Shrimp and scampi are very close as far as the product goes. So but prime rib, other names, standing rib, you'll know that is the standing rib roast you buy at, in December, a lot of people, for Christmas. Could be a baron of beef. I've seen that years ago listed, the baron referring to the kind of, if you think of the saddle of lamb, this, you know, the upper and lower back. So a baron of beef would be, that's the kind of where it relates to. So that'd be rib and part of your loin. But the rib, if we say just rib roast to people, you know, now we have short ribs, we have braised chuck roasts, bone in, you know, be a little confusing, especially on menus. A prime rib, everybody knows. Again, if it doesn't say, if the menu doesn't say USDA prime, then it's probably not prime grade, although still very good. We used to fabricate the whole ribs. First place I worked, we had to do some butchering, and you'll see rib roasts with the fat cap put back on and tied. And then there's other one we call a bone-in ribeye or an export rib. Those are the two names you'll see. And that's simply the roast on the bones without the extra fat cap. Now, when you're cooking prime rib, slow is the way to go. With the fat cap on, gives it a lot more basting. Oftentimes what we would do is peel back the fat cap, season the beef under that, and then tie it back on. And, of course, you're not going to use that. You're not going to eat it, but it just keeps the meat insulated and cooking slowly. The export rib or the bone-in ribeye, on the other hand, does not have all that protection. Now, we cook those. We use the export. They yield a little bit better for us. But we use a slow cooker that has a higher humidity, so we don't get the shrinkage. We get plenty of flavor, permeates the meat, and doesn't take quite as long to cook. So you decide you could do boneless, the ribeye, that's the same cut but off the bone. That'll cook up a little quicker, but, you know, it's without that connection on the bone, kind of gives a natural rack to roast in, so the meat's not sitting, unless you're using a roasting rack, the meat's sitting there kind of boiling in the pan. So the bone end's always better. Usually, strangely enough, it can cost you more to buy, as far as per pound of meat, it would cost you more to buy on the bone than off the bone, but you do get flavor. We use the bones for stock to make our beef juice with, so we get full use out of them. We've got a break for a commercial. We're going to talk about shrimp scampi quickly, and then go on to, I don't know, fish cooked like meat. I think, you know, we eat so many different varieties of seafood there, yet our animal proteins are very limited. Most of us just have pork and chicken and beef, maybe a little turkey here and there. The rest of the world eats many more things, but in this country we seem to be locked in. So we're thinking of the variety of seafood out there, and treat your seafood like meat. Nice, healthy option, takes a lot less time, and can be just as tasty. We'll be back at Chef Bill's table.
You tell yourself you're not my kind.
listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Table here, Beckett Sheffield's table at WHCRDB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio. From Flemington, New Jersey. County seat, by the way. So, shrimp scampi. And anybody that knows about seafood will know that a scampi, or scampo in the singular, is similar to a shrimp, except that it has claws. It's called also a Dublin Bay prawn. Italians would call it a scampo, scampi plural, and langoustine, Norway lobster, little lobsterettes. Very difficult to buy fresh, very expensive. They don't have a long life once they're out of the water. Normally you'll see them frozen. We've used them in the past, Italian restaurant I worked at. We would have actually got the scampi in, a little bit larger, and then they had the claws and everything. No meat in the claws, unfortunately. They're like little pinchers, but when you cook these whole, you get the benefit of that flavor in the sauce. So, shrimp scampi, what does that mean to you when you see it on a menu? Well, it means, in America at least, shrimp cooked in a garlic butter. Normally served over pasta, rice. We do a garlic shrimp. It's our version of scampi. It's funny, they had it on the menu as garlic shrimp, and not too many people ordered it. People request shrimp scampi, but this one I threw a little roasted pepper in with it too, made it more like a little tapa. Put it on some croutons, little Parmesan croutons, so you make a little extra sauce in the bread. The thing is the sauce, right? Or something like this. You could use olive oil. Butter is, you know, our vehicle of choice here, but certainly you could use olive oil. could grill the shrimp in the shell if you like. And normally, the shrimp scampi sounds like you're saying shrimp. But scampi has become the preparation, kind of like, you know, prime rib. Yes, it's a grade, but it's also kind of a dish, right? So these are things that that happen, but they're, you know, kind of locked in tradition here. So when you're doing a scampi, sauteing the shrimp. Now, larger shrimp sometimes are called prawns. In the United Kingdom, of course, shrimp are prawns. That's what they call them. In America, normally when you see a prawn, it means one of the larger shrimp. So, again, more confusing, right? But either way, they all taste good, and they all cook up about the same. We eat just the tails, the ones that have claws. You don't eat the claws, but the little bit of fat in the head. If you cook them whole again, down in Louisiana, New Orleans, their barbecue shrimp. It's kind of not like what we think of as barbecue, but it's a little butter, Worcestershire, maybe a little beer. And the idea is you cook the shrimp whole, you get that flavor, and of course you're peeling them. You don't want it piping hot, I guess, but you know, you have the shrimp in the shell, and then you just mop up that good sauce. So if you have the opportunity to get some either lobsterettes, those would be just the tails probably. I think we used to get them out of South America. They came frozen, obviously, but we would serve those. And a little sweeter taste than shrimp. Shrimp have a little bit of iodine flavor, which is natural. The deeper water the shrimp is harvested in seems to have a little bit more pronounced to that. But that's what you're looking for, just like in a single malt scotch. You want some of that medicinal flavor, right? But the Dublin prawns, the scampies, they'll have a little bit more lobster flavor. Apparently, a few years ago, they became all the rage. Of course, again, very expensive to buy live. But certainly, you know, if you're ever can't get lobster or lobster prices go too high, of course, these would... instead of shrimp as a substitute, if you find some of these prawns or scampies or langoustines, be a nice substitute. One to take each and every day. So, fish cooked like meat. By the way, prime rib and shrimp scampi would be a nice surf and turf if you're looking to celebrate this week. Or a ribeye steak and scampi. Either one. Don't ignore the obvious, right? Sometimes the I mean, it might seem old-fashioned, but it works. So fish cooked like meat. So I'm thinking, you know, again, we've had, you know, we limit ourselves in the variety of proteins. And, you know, you see the recipes, you know, how many is working on that old fried chicken and working on the thighs. I think a double-fried tempura batter is going to be the one I go with, but still trying out different combinations. Want to get that nice coating where if you hit it with the back of a spoon, it crackles. So that's what we're working on right now. Experimenting. We'd like to do the thigh, much more flavor. And when we get it, we'll be featuring a special. So I got skate wings in this last night, the Ray, Stingray, Raja. Not a big popular food. You see it on a lot of pub or bistro menus. It might even be the fish and chips sometimes. They cook up... a little bit firm, just the wings. If you think of the stingrays, right, the big wings flap there, they come cleaned. They may, you don't want the natural to get inherent there, a slight ammonia smell. Soaking them in milk takes that away. Don't you need to buy them very fresh though? They don't have a long shelf life. So we did. We were doing a pan fried. I call it a schnitzel. So you think of a schnitzel, a cutlet. You do pork. You do, you know, Wiener schnitzel, the veal. Some people, we've done chicken. So I think, well, this, you know, it's a long flat piece. It's a wing. We had some nice. They were from relatively small, so you know, one side of the wing was about the same size as our pork cutlets that we use for schnitzel. So I thought, well, why not offer it like that? We did it with a grilled gem romaine salad. You could do traditional if you think of fried fish, you know, French fries and coleslaw. I said, no, I'm going to treat this more like we would treat a cutlet. Veal, maybe, or pork cutlet, and served it with a salad. And I know the romaine is We've been having trouble. We source ours out of Salinas. Ours does not come from Arizona. We had some last week that came in. We didn't take the shipment. We got it replaced. That was when the news first came out. So we saw a lot of sales. The gem romaine, however, the small baby romaines, whole different product. We talked about these before. Cut them in half. You eat the whole head of romaine. It's smaller, only a, you know, maybe 8 inches. Not like the big heads of romaine. Not a lot of water in them. Very good flavor. So we figured the skate wings, you know, would sell like that. It looks like a nice cutlet on the plate. And then kind of probably next time I'm going to do a mushroom sauce with it like we do our Hunter sauce, but I'll use lobster mushrooms. Not lobster and mushrooms, but those that variety of mushrooms looks kind of, they're a little reddish, look like lobster, like cooked lobster. And then I thought, well, you know, skate wings, everybody eats buffalo wings. Why not? I mean, we do a buffalo calamari. People like buffalo shrimp. Why not have like a fish version of wings? So I took the I took small pieces and I did them in an ale batter that we use. I tried them, you know, just soaked in milk, dusted in the flour. They were okay. Didn't have enough crunch for them. Although our tenders are done like that, they're not really crunchy and crispy like wings, but they're very good. And the skate, you know, has a little firmer texture. So the combination, of course, our gorgonzola at least, our dressing and the classic buffalo sauce are hard to beat. So instead of dipping them or tossing them, which I could have, the ale batter is crispy enough. A tempura would work also, but the ale batter, a little bit more flavor. And I talked to my fish man, and I can get the monkfish on the bone. And I think next time I'm going to just cut the strips of bone and fry those up and try those. It would be like eating a wing, right? Monkfish ribs, call it that. Excuse me. Monkfish ribs, right? We've done that with tuna racks before. We would get from our fish supplier the ribs of the tuna after they cut the loins out. There'd still be some meat on there. And we would barbecue those up. Pretty tasty little things. You know, it's not really big bones like the pork ribs or lamb ribs, but, you know, we don't like to waste the meat there. Very good. Number one tuna. So I'm thinking skate wings buffalo style. A classic, of course, for us to cook like meat is tuna. Tuna, red meat, you can eat it rare, medium rare. Most people like it rare. And many preparations here are kind of, I guess I'll call it Asian for lack of, you know, for a general term, but usually, you know, some kind of soy base or we do it with a kimchi fried rice and wasabi. You know, it's we've done the soy ginger glaze and a vegetable spring roll, but early on we did peppercorn, black peppercorn. You could use crushed green, but we crushed up the black peppercorns just like you would for a strip steak or a filet and pressed it into the tuna and seared it like that. Peppercorns, of course, flavor it, kind of keep it off the, doesn't really stick in the pan. It's kind of holding it off the pan if you have them pressed in there right. A little clear oil, hot oil. And we would use a red wine demi-glaze. So the demi, obviously we have the veal demi there. You could make it with a red wine and some brown stock. Again, it's red meat, so you know, don't be afraid. You don't have to use the clam juice on this one, right? We're going to have some meat flavor there. I'm not saying we're eating fish and giving up meat. All I'm saying is we're kind of preparing fish that reminds us of meat. So this red wine sauce, good dry red wine, some shallots in the pan, and reduce it to a glaze, add your broth. Now, we have the demi. It's kind of cooked down, thickens up on its own. With this, obviously, you've got your beef broth or chicken if you want to. But when that'll cook down, it's not going to get thick like a demi because it's broth. It's not stock. But you can swirl in a butter pat in there and give it that that temporary emulsion, that kind of technique we talked about last week with the asparagus. When the fat and the liquid get 50-50, it becomes kind of creamy. The other option, of course, is to make, have a little arrowroot or cornstarch to slightly thicken it if you're doing a batch. If you're doing just a couple of them, I think I've made, sauce for a steak, just pan searing it, and you splash, you've got the fond there, the nice brown bits. You've got a little bit of water and a little Worcestershire sauce, and then a pat of unsalted butter, and you've got a quick steak sauce, right? So, yeah, the tuna, don't be afraid to treat that like meat and cook it to temperature also. It's safe. If you're concerned at all, obviously, you could get a nice top-grade tuna. If you want sushi-grade, if it happens to be frozen, that's fine. Just make sure you defrost it slowly. Don't run it under a lot of water. Give yourself a day or so to let it get defrosted, and you'll be rewarded. We've got a break for news, but we got a couple more thoughts here on these fish done like meat. Chef Bill's Table.
With tradition, a town crier makes a big announcement in London this morning.
Buckingham Palace, proudly announced the birth of a newly born Royal Prince on this St. George's Day, 2018.
That the announcement that Prince William and his wife Kate were celebrating the arrival of a third child, an 8-pound, 7-ounce prince who was born this morning. Kensington Palace says Prince William was present for the birth, and both mother and child are doing well. CIA Director Mike Pompeo's nomination, now to be Secretary of State, may be voted out of a Senate committee today without a recommendation or with a negative recommendation.
Under ordinary times, he would be confirmed overwhelmingly.
Senate Republican Bob Corker there on CNN. Democrats say Pompeo doesn't have the diplomatic experience to be Secretary. This is USA Radio News.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll notice is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings.
800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
The stars, pull one down for you.
All right, we're back at the table here. Chef Bill's Table, 100andchamberradio.com. So, yes, so skate wings, tuna. Obviously, tuna can be finely chopped into a burger. You don't just have to, you could use a thin slice of tuna, but chopped up. I wouldn't grind it. You could pulse it in a food processor, but just binding it with a little bit of Dijon mustard, some salt and pepper if you want parsley in there, that's fine. You don't need the egg and breadcrumb and things like that. The meat will hold together very well, and you could grill it, or I like to start it in the pan and still, you know, if you don't use egg in there, then you don't have to worry. You could cook it rare, but tuna chopped up, either tartare, poke, anything like that. Tartare, if you think the beef tartare was the original, tuna can be done like that very easily. A monkfish, another favorite around here, of course, skate, monkfish, scallops, that's the things that come in down at Barnegat there, besides, you know, flounder and fluke. We try to use the Jersey fish as much as we can. Can't get that striped bass, though. We're not allowed. New York and Pensy can sell it, but they don't want us selling, the game fishermen don't want us selling striped bass. Won't be enough to go around, I guess. I don't know. Fight it every year. It doesn't work. So, one of the great fish out there. So, monkfish. We started doing it a few weeks ago. Monkfish, anybody familiar with it? Big, ugly head on the fish. Anglerfish, goosefish, other names for it. Just eat the tail. And years ago, I know with Valentine's Day, you want to do this for two. And I did a monkfish Chateaubriand. You know, Chateaubriand, a nice center barrel cut of tenderloin filet, beef filet that's roasted. Normally served with, we used to be the bouquetier, the bouquet of vegetables. It comes out on a platter. It's carved by the captain. You've got a nice sauce to go with it, whatever you like. Usually a, you know, a little fancy place that have a Madeira truffle sauce maybe or something like that. I've done it in operations. I thought of a dinner for two one year. I ran a monkfish Chateaubriand. So you have the tail of the monkfish. Yeah, it looks certain. I mean, they come all sizes. We like to buy the larger. But it reminded me of a pork tenderloin. You know, that's the, you know, smaller than a beef fillet, but plenty for a dinner for two. So I did trimmed up the tail and, you know, got a nice section of it that was even. And pan roasted it and made a nice sauce for it and presented it on the platter, sliced, just like you would a beef fillet or a pork fillet. Very nice way to do it. You're cooking one piece. You're not flipping. I mean, medallions are great. They call it poor man's lobster. It's probably more the texture, not really the flavor, but good versatile fish. You can do, I mean, saute it, poach it, grill it, fry it, steam it. Done it over succotash, steamed. But the ossobuco, so what you do is the tailbone has the muscle on either side of it. If you think of what an ossobuco is, the veal shank, and nowadays you'll see pork shank out there too. The shin, beef shin, used to be a good soup meat. Nice flavor. So you've got the marrow from the bone and the sauce. It's all about the sauce. The ossobuco, you've got, you know, the some of the toughest meat, but you tenderize it long cooking, but the sauce is really what makes it. Now, the monkfish bone, of course, are not having that kind of flavor, so we need to do something else with it. But you can buy the monkfish, of course, you know, skin, everything trimmed off, and the two medallions are attached with the center bone. There's no little pin bones or anything. It's just one chunk of bone, like a swordfish bone. And really nice way to cook it. Nice and thick, good pieces. We pan roast them, or you could braise them in the oven. They've got a nice sear on them. And we made it with the braised French lentils, the green lentils, not the brown regular lentils that you make soup with. The green lentils, you want them to stay a little firm. You don't want them mushing up. So the green lentils, very good. Classic preparation. Good and hearty. And the monkfish sits on top. So the lentils, we start with the mirepoix, the onions, carrots, and celery, of course. Sauté those, a little garlic. And you don't have to soak lentils, you know, like just like split peas and lentils. You don't have to soak them. They're flat. They're already ready to go. Add the lentils and water. And the box of lentils will tell you about how much water to use. It's, you know, 2 to 1. You can always add anyway. And we would put, you know, bay leaf and a little thyme in there. Instead of water, you could use we use a vegetable broth. You could absolutely use a chicken broth if you want. Again, we're not divorcing ourselves from meat here. We're just trying to make fish taste like meat. So maybe a meat stock would be even better. So we have the lentils. They're cooking along. After an hour, I put in some diced tomatoes. You could add some other zucchinis or anything like that if you like. I resisted the mushrooms, although I'm sure they'd be good in there. I like mushrooms with everything, so I try not to force that on my guests. At the end, once the lentils are cooked, they're still going to be a little firm. I mean, you don't want them too al dente, but you don't want them mushy. And funny, the green lentils, of course, they turn a little brownish anyway. They don't end up that green. Almost, I guess some people, you know, they might think they're turning almost black. But anyway, at the end, we finish it with some Dijon mustard and some red wine vinegar. Just kind of round off that earthy flavor. You got that little sharpness of the acid in there. The mustard kind of mellows things out. And what we'll do is serve the fish on top of those. Now, we pan roast the fish, and we will deglaze the pan with a little bit of white wine and lemon butter, but just enough to coat the fish. We're not pouring a sauce because the beans kind of are like, I like these, you know, garnishes or vegetables that kind of become the sauce. You want these beans to be a little bit soupy. It's not really a bean soup, but you can have it loose, kind of like a risotto. And risotto would be fine for this too, like a classic ossobuco. Anyway, with this we serve a salad more as a garnish. Just take spring mix, and we use our herb vinaigrette. It's 10% blended olive oil. We have cider and red wine vinegar in there, a bunch of herbs. And using both vinegars, it's not quite as strong as a balsamic. Of course, red wine vinegar is good just with olive oil. We usually, you know, people can request that. But this, the herb vinaigrette, just toss the greens lightly. And so you have your braised lentils, the fish on top of that, and then a little bit of salad. Gives a little crunch, gives a little green. And it's a nice combination. Seems to go well. Traditional ossobuco would be served with a risotto Milanese with the Parmesan, and actually technically you should get a little saffron too. And you could certainly do this with the monkfish. But if you're doing that with the risotto, then you may want to make a little bit more sauce. And a brown sauce would work well. I've done it with the swordfish before. Again, for us, the simplest way in the pan is to add some wine and we use the demi-glaze, cook it down, finish with the butter, and we're done. At home, if you have a brown sauce, you could use this as a base too. I mean, if you want to make stock and demi, it's a two-day process. You've got to brown the... You could find good veal bones, marrow bones, or you could use beef, I guess. We've done it with chicken. If you're not in favor of veal, get some chicken bones, but roast them up first. Get them nice and brown, and along with your mirepoix. You want that caramelization there. That's what's going to give it the color. And we do this, you know, to make pan sauces, things like that. You want that caramel, that brown, not only the color, but the flavor. So a sauce made with a brown reduced chicken stock would work out. In fact, I tried actually a dish with halibut last night. Halibut, again, one of the great fish. And, you know, we do it with the cauliflower mash and the tomatoes, you know, a classic fish garnish. But I did something last night that I think is going to work. I'm going to run it. It's going to work out well. It'll do well with halibut or swordfish, chaussure. Another classic sauce. We're bringing out the classics here, right? That's what we know. We could do updates on them, but some of those combinations still work. After the break here, I'll be back at the table, and we'll talk about the chaussure.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Table here. Chef Bill's Table at WHCRDB. Halibut chasseur. And usually this would, we actually what happened was we had run a chicken dish with this sauce. And we had a little bit of it left. And the chasseur, classic variation of a Espanol or brown sauce. So you have your brown sauce. First we made it with brown chicken broth instead of beef or veal, obviously. And when you're making the sauce, of course, or your stock, you already have your aromatics in there, your mirepoix. The chasseur, the garnish, you have sauce. So you have your finished. Let's say, let's call it. You don't want to call it gravy. You want to call it a sauce, right? Or even your broth. What we did is some shallots and diced tomato. Now, if you don't want the seeds in there, a concasse. That's the term. Peel the Roma tomatoes and take out the seeds and simply dice those. Some onions, finely diced, a little bit of shallot, even though it's another kind of onion. Both those work in there. And we'd saute these and then white wine and the brown chicken broth. A little bay leaf and thyme go in there. And we thickened it with potato starch. We've been trying to work with that, especially with the, you know, more and more people gluten-sensitive, gluten-free. Plus, it's a little bit nicer. You don't get that kind of that skin that forms from the proteins in the flour. And it doesn't seem to break either for us for something that's on a long cooking time. The potato starch, mix it with oil. You can use water. We mix it with oil just like a... It's almost like a roux, but it's not, you don't cook it. And you can add it just like you would a cornstarch slurry or flour and water to the sauce. Thickens instantly. It gives it that little cloudiness that you want. See, if I want a clear sauce, I use arrowroot or cornstarch. Then you can kind of see through it. You know, some delicate sauces, especially dessert sauces, use that. Some kind of, or tapioca starch, things like that. But, want that little cloudiness of the sauce for this. You want it to coat. So I took a nice chunk of halibut. I had the sauce already made. And that's the key here, because the fish doesn't take as long to cook as if you're making a chicken chausseur, you would cook the chicken with the vegetables, everything, and braise it. But the thing with fish is, we're saving time here. I mean, you have your sauces or your ingredients ready, but the fish does not take that long to cook. So, 450 degree oven, and I start it in the pan, the halibut. I did not flour it. I just salt and pepper, a little canola oil, got a good sear on it, nice and brown, flipped it over, and, 10 minutes. It was a good thick piece. It was, an inch and a half or so thick. Nice, beautiful fish. Could do this with swordfish also, but, so it was, about 80% cooked. I added the sauce to the pan and let it simmer a little bit to pick up some of the flavors, get the any brown bits off the pan. And it's very good. And I had some mashed potatoes. You want to, we always like a little starch. But tasting it, the halibut held up well to the sauce. I mean, it wasn't, it was made with chicken broth, so it's a little bit lighter than a full-on Hutter sauce that we use. We use a Hutter sauce in with our Jägerschnitzel, and that's the red wine, the tomato. That's a little bit. But I'm going to try that next time. I think that's probably going to be better with a swordfish. Swordfish is another fish, obviously. Comes in steak form, and you can treat it very much like steak. We use mahi is another when it's around. Mahi is another one that coats and glazes well and grills and whatever you want to do with it. Good texture on it. It doesn't flake like some of the other fish. Now, the halibut will flake, but it's thick enough and still stayed firm. And I would dare say if you get a thick piece of cod or something like that, the roasting it with that brown sauce would be good. But the swordfish, again, treat it like steak. We did that peppercorn. You could do a steak Diane, a little brandy and mustard in there with the sauce. I mean, there's lots of possibilities. I'm thinking swordfish Bernaise. Bernaise sauce normally we serve with the filet, right? Got that little hollandaise with the tarragon vinegar reduction instead of lemon juice. Little fresh chopped herbs in there. That's a little sharper sauce than a hollandaise. Hollandaise is very delicate and rich. But roasting or grilling swordfish steaks, and I've done actually seen swordfish where you can take a section of the loin and roast it just like we did the monkfish. I mean, it's bigger around. It takes a little bit longer. Do you want to get a piece that's pretty uniform in diameter so it cooks properly? But you can roast swordfish like that and slice it. You don't want to overcook it. You don't want it too tough there. You don't want it falling apart either. But the swordfish is another one that can be treated like meat very well. Many of your meat sauces has enough fat in it, enough flavor to stand up to that treatment. So a couple of halibut casseroles. I've done years ago a classic. Kings did a choucroute garni, the classic Alsatian dish, the sauerkraut with the different meats and sausages in it. We call it an Oktoberfest platter at Jake's. We make the sauerkraut and then grill the sausages, put it on top. But the choucroute, normally you have your cabbage cooked maybe with salt pork or bacon. The sauerkraut, but you need to get the sauerkraut nice and mild. And the way to do that is to rinse it a couple of times. I actually you can use warm water if you want, but just drain the sauerkraut. Get the fresh pack stuff, not the canned, and rinse it well. Get the salt off of it. Start with some onion and saute. Add the sauerkraut and then we'll add some white wine. Is the best. You can always, you could use a hard cider if you like, or if you don't want alcohol, you could use a good apple cider. I mean, there's going to be a little bit of residual sweetness there, so that might but the dry hard cider, white wine will do well with the sauerkraut and a little chicken broth. Figure, all right, we just took the salt away, but you want, you know, a low sodium broth. And you're trying to braise this sauerkraut. You want to mellow it out. It's just salted preserved cabbage. You know, and you're just trying to get some of that salt back out of it and still leave the flavor. So in a seafood chucrut, I would use a smoked fish in there for some flavor, smoked salmon, smoked trout, anything like that, in little pieces to instead of your bacon. And once the sauerkraut is cooked, you can simply place the fish there and steam the fish on top of the sauerkraut. It doesn't have to be for hours like a smoked pork roast or anything like that. But the surprisingly, that sauerkraut and the fish, I would do salmon, I would do monkfish, you know, a couple of stronger flavored fish, but it will hold up. Then, of course, a little horseradish cream, and you got it made. How could we not remember cassoulet? Italian cuisine, usually you'll see a combination of shrimp and white beans. So I would say a seafood cassoulet, definitely. Have your white beans. You cook them from scratch, obviously. If you wanted to use, can I use cannellinis for this instead of the northern beans? They're a little creamier. But a good backdrop for fish and beans. I think we've done a show on that anyway before. We're using beans, but the white beans cooked in the garlic, the sage. The cassoulet normally has your salt pork and things like that. If you want the smoke flavor, as I say, smoked salmon or smoked trout would always work. And then if you could do a seafood sausage if you like, but just a variety of fish cooked in with the beans. Very nice one-pot dish, or if you want to cook the fish separately and serve it with the beans, have at it. Anyway, we got to fly. It's the end of the show, and we'll be back next week and see what we're ready for Mother's Day.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
As is British tradition, a town crier makes a big announcement in London this morning.
Buckingham Palace, round here now. The birth of a newly born prince.
That the announcement that Prince William and his wife Kate were celebrating the arrival of a third child, an 8-pound, 7-ounce prince who was born this morning. Kensington Palace says Prince William was present for the birth, and both mother and child are doing well. CIA Director Mike Pompeo's nomination now to be Secretary of State may be voted out of a Senate committee today without a recommendation or with a negative recommendation.
Under ordinary times, he would be confirmed overwhelmingly.
Senate Republican Bob Corker there on CNN. Democrats say Pompeo doesn't have the diplomatic experience to be Secretary. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, moms and dads. There's a new True Blue American Hero in theaters now.
In fact, I thought of a name for it.
His name is Stubby.
Sergeant Stubby, an American Hero, is a heartwarming animated adventure for the whole family based on the incredible true story of America's most decorated dog.
I confer the honorary rank of Sergeant on Stubby, the regimental mascot.
You could all learn something from him.
Now playing in theaters nationwide. Go see it today.
Wayne Allyn Root for Bullet Blocker. I love these guys. Sometimes you fight a